VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, where we come from, which is where you come from for the most part. And it is another beautiful morning, and this is another live version of the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
Yes, he is back. He is tanned. He is ready to go, and he denies being rested. So if we can get anything out of him today, we'll try our best.
Is this thing working?
Not well.
No.
We'll do a little work on that here for a minute. Anyway, there are a few rules, as everyone who's ever heard us knows, and there are none more important than rule number one, which says that callers go to the head of the line. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
Good. What's up today?
Well, it's a beautiful day in Florida again.
It's just another one and many, many, many. Best thing we ever did was leave the snow covered tundra for the sunny climb.
Yeah, I was glad to get back after being away for a while.
I can imagine that. What, you got a question today?
Yes, I gave it to him, but I'll give it to you again.
Yeah, I'd like the public to hear it.
Okay, President Trump has said that this country is close to energy independence.
Yes.
I'm interested in knowing how that is going to affect the average American, the average individual.
Well, for the things you do most often, which would be to fill up the tank in your car, things like that, it's keeping prices down. They're actually lower right now than they were a year ago today. It's a good thing. But on a more economic, macroeconomic plane, I think the real importance there is that we'll no longer get these tremendous spikes that have occurred in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, all that. Every once in a while, we've had these gigantic spikes that cause energy prices to rise dramatically in a very short time, and that inevitably drives the economy into recession and takes a long time to get out of it. And if we can get that business cycle to, well, at least lessen. You can't eliminate the business cycle, but if the impact can be lessened because of the constant supply of domestic energy, then it's like we don't any longer have that gun to our head that we've had from OPEC and places like that for generations, actually. So to me, it's a more stable environment, a safer environment, and I haven't even gotten into the part yet where we're not going to spend $700 billion sending money to Arab countries that hate us in return for their oil. No good can ever come of that, and hasn't. So here we are now. I'd love to see us continue to be a net exporter. All that money we've sent them over the decades, let's bring some back. What the heck? Somebody, you know, I heard something this week that you'll love. Can't remember who it was talking about it, but it referred to Trump. I can't remember if he was the one saying it. But he said, our energy resources don't belong to the government. They belong to the U.S. people. And I did could have had a V8 moment on that one. Said, that's the smartest thing I've heard in a year. Why can't we use that which we have gotten by our birthright or by our naturalization? Well, we can now. There are 56,000 coal miners who weren't working a year ago. They are today. There are all kinds of wonderful things happening out there, and to me, every one of them is a net plus, because I frankly don't think the global warming is going to increase if you burn domestic rather than foreign oil. That's the way I look at it. What do you think?
Particularly if we're the only ones not doing it.
Isn't that the truth? We're a little late to the party, as usual.
Yeah.
That's because we listen to people that we shouldn't listen to, I guess. And a lot of those people have something to gain, and it's financial, generally. Some of them are crazy, and they're not in it for that. But other people are just in it because they got their hands out. But I love it. I think it's one of the most important things going on. And Rick Perry had a wonderful quote this week also. He's running the energy department. He said the energy department, or the EPA, he said, is the graveyard of American jobs. How do you like that? Gotta love it, huh?
That's all right. We're having a resurrection.
And if that's what it takes, let's have a long, elongated one and just keep it going. Anything else on your mind today?
No, that was it. I certainly appreciate your answer.
Well, I certainly appreciate your question.
And look forward to talking with you shortly in the future.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're still having microphone wars over here with some of the technology, but Adam will be with us in a second. I do want to talk about what happened in the market, but first, I want to welcome everybody again to the only really solid financial radio show you'll ever need. I remind everybody this time every week that not all financial programs are created equal. You're listening to the one that's not boring, bragging, doesn't have dead air, political, religious, it's not scripted, it's not a rerun, it's live and it's in person. And the one thing that separates us from most is that if you want to talk about what you want to talk about, all you have to do is pick up the phone and call 904-222-8255. That's 222-TALK. We will talk about topics of interest to us and hopefully to you, but you want to change the subject, we encourage you to do so. And as you've already heard today in the short time, the callers do go to the head of the line. So in the market this week, and I'm going to talk a lot about this in a little while, some funny things happened and it wound up. Although all week it felt kind of gloomy and doomy to me, but you know, there's reasons for this, and I'm not going to get into them until Adam tells you exactly what did happen and what we can maybe expect for next week.
All right. Well, let's see if sounds like this one's working a little bit better. Good.
So you sound a lot smarter in that one.
Oh, good. Well, I'll use this one more often. So during this short trading week, there are a lot of people on vacation, including myself. There are a lot of traders out during the weeks around the 4th of July and up in New York. So you see a lot of the so-called smart money leave the market. And what happened was that it basically remained flat. There was some movement within the sectors, though. Financials and industrials both gained over 1%, while telecom, energy, consumer staples, and utilities all fell over 1%. So none of the actual indexes moved more than 1%, but money was just flowing from one sector to another. The S&P was the only one that ended down. It was only 0.4% lower, but both the NASDAQ and the Dow gained just about a quarter of a percentage point. And the Dow even managed to hit an all-time high on Monday, as did the Dow Transports, which is considered a leading market indicator. So
yeah, that's good. That kind of snuck up on me. They've been lagging for a long time.
Definitely. There was some economic data released as well. I'll get into a little bit more of it after the break, but the highlight was the jobs number, the non-farm payrolls. They came in at 222,000 versus an expected 178,000. So that was a really strong number. It was a little bit dampened by the unemployment rate coming in higher than expected and the average hourly earnings coming in weaker than expected.
And there are reasons for all of those things.
But the participation rate was up again, so people are coming back into the workforce, which means that jobs are available and people are filling them, finally.
That is exactly right, and I'm going to talk a lot more about that after the break. We'll have a trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales and Benjamin Franklin. The difference is you can call Ken Bales at 636-7888, First Coast Alarm. Benjamin Franklin designed a lot of things in his life. And as soon as we come back from the break, we're going to talk about an original design of one of them. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here live, as always, on another beautiful, sunny Saturday morning in Northeast Florida. What a delight. Glad you could join us. Stick around for the rest of the show. If you're new, you might learn something. If you're a regular, you might learn something. And if you want us to learn something, all you got to do is call us and tell us. How about that? All right, we were wrapping up the market for the week, which was blah, I guess is the word I'd use, until some nice stuff happened on Friday, and now I think we're back on track.
So. Yeah, we're just talking about the payrolls numbers, and we also had the ADP payrolls numbers, the private report, and that came in at 187,000 versus 170,000 expected, so another positive sign. The ISM manufacturing and non-manufacturing, the service side, both came in above expectations and well above the 50 that signals expansion. So the overall report was a 57.4 for June, shows a pretty healthy expanding economy. There were only two comments in the report that expressed concern around, and they were around environmental regulations and Obamacare. So you can kind of see that because those are two of the hottest topics in Washington right now. And they weren't really negative. They were just expressing concern. So I think overall it was a really strong report and just sort of another indicator that the economy is on the right track right now.
Yeah. Let's just dig into it a little bit. I call this misunderstanding basic economics. How did we get ourselves into this mess? Which begs another question. How do we get ourselves out of this mess? The mess to which I refer is that we live in a country where over half of the people woefully misunderstand fundamental, basic economics. What makes matters even worse is that in the world, we're relatively high up. The rest of the world is almost all behind us in understanding fundamental economics. Now, if you grew up in the 50s, like some of us, we had to study economics and civics. And they are virtually inseparable. The form of government in any country largely determines the economics and finances within the country, and we are still free. We were freer back then. Natural resources available within the country are also very important, but how they're utilized is often a function of government. Capitalism has been around in the U.S. ever since the Pilgrims failed in their attempt to establish a collective that Karl Marx would have loved, from each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs. That was a dismal failure. So they started over again. And this time they started over with a capitalistic approach. And look what we've become. It works every time it's tried. Today, that story is never taught. It's hardly ever spoken of. I think everybody assumes that we started out just like we are now, and it's not true. It was a success caused by the failures of the people who tried it. So where am I going? You know, I generally save talk like this for when you're talking to friends or when I'm shouting back at the television at night or something like that. But it's actually germane to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I mentioned last week that the stock market is ultimately driven by business conditions. As business thrives and makes money, it expands, hires people, generally improves the nation's economics. Guess what? The market rallies. More than any other single factor, it's the business cycle, the place in it, and the strength of it that is the best predictor of the market. An undereducated public that fails to understand the data, along with biased economists and unreliable media, I use that term loosely, produces a climate of misunderstanding, fear, and then people run away from the market. Chicken Little is alive and well every day. You hear it everywhere you go, how horrible things are going to be. Our sky has been falling for years and years, but I looked up when I got out of the car coming into the studio today, and it was blue. That's partly because I live in Florida, but partly because the sky is still there. So when I hear things lately, and I hear them every week lately, about markets hitting new highs, it doesn't surprise me. It surprises a lot of people, but it doesn't surprise me because I understand economics, I understand finance. So what brought that up this week? Easy, the jobs reports. We caught the, quote, experts off guard again with the 220,000 jobs created compared to the, quote, experts who thought it would be lower than 180,000. They were shocked, and I might say pleased, and the market turned around and resumed its upward trend. I was surprised at that number, too. I actually thought it might be a little higher.
I agree. I thought it might be a little stronger than that.
And it was in the household report. That was 245,000. After all, when you think about it, the Trump administration is very quietly keeping promises to deregulate business, produce domestic energy, which we were talking to Jack about earlier, and put Americans back to work. People in America who get jobs start spending money. In economics, we have a name for them. We call them consumers. We have a 70% consumer-driven economy. The more consumers, the more economy. It stands to reason. And it will stay that way as long as the government leaves it alone or even enhances business conditions. But jobs weren't. Jobs was, if it's a word, you know what I mean. My research department will have to get on that one. The rash of economic data in the short holiday week was huge, and it produced results that were reported as being far worse than people thought they would be. Only 7 of 18 indicators came in better. Now, I'll tell you why. How is mass economic data released? A number is given, and that number is compared to another number called expectations. Whose expectations? Yours? Mine? The president's? No. It is a consensus of economists. Which economists? They never ask me. They ever ask you, Adam?
Not yet.
I don't know anybody who's ever been asked. So who are these, quote, economists, and where do they get their expectations? If their qualifications involve where their office is located, how many letters they have behind their name, or who they know, then perhaps we're not getting the best experts that we can get, and that probably makes their expectations less than reliable. Maybe a clearer picture would emerge if we compared the numbers with their own actual history. Another example or two, maybe. The labor force participation rate, easy for me to say, was unexpectedly higher. Why? We've been saying for weeks that people will come out of the woodwork and resume the job search as soon as there are jobs that become available. Human nature, believe it or not, makes people want to work, not sit home and collect money. Well, over the past few years, jobs have been scarce. Most have been low-paying and part-time. That's no longer happening. Now that there are jobs out there and people are making money, people who had stopped looking, and therefore, because of the absolute stupidity of the federal government and its measuring process, they were dropped off the unemployment rolls, so that you three, as we call it, the unemployment rate as the one you hear about all the time, that sounds a lot better than actual conditions are. If you want to know the truth, you have to look at a statistic called U6. Now, U6 has very quietly, over the past few years, fallen in half, from almost 17% to just over 8%. We had a name for U6 back when I was young. We called it the unemployment rate. It was the unemployment rate. It was the unemployment rate that people went by. They weren't trying to pad statistics back then. We called it what it was. Well, you still can. You just got to know where to look, and you won't hear it on the nightly news. So why do people not think that the participation rate will come up, that more people will be working? Well, it's because they think that, for instance, Trump doesn't know what he's doing. There are too many people out there who are Keynesians who do not understand the real ways of the world economically. Fortunately, this administration does. So the one thing that surprises me the most is how often these people are surprised. Why would you be surprised when things are going exactly the way we predict every Saturday? Marvin Gaye may have said it best. Believe half of what you see, none of what you hear. Except here, of course. You can listen to us every week, and we'll tell you the truth about what's going on. So when you hear all those things about market crashes, inevitable this year, 60% loss in the Dow, week after week we bring these up and we tell you all, why would it do that? things are good and things are getting better. We always reserve the possibility of a mushroom cloud happening somewhere, a little dictator in North Korea or something like that. But we got really good people putting a lid on him, too. If you're going to live your life like that, please do business somewhere else. But if you want to talk sense, if you want somebody to look out after your finances, help you get where you're going, a really good idea would be to call Van Wee Financial and call this show. And we'll tell you exactly what we believe, which is a heck of a lot more reliable in many cases than what you see on the nightly news and what you hear in government statistics. They have no need, no requirement to tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. We are fiduciaries to you, and we do. And that's rant number one for this week.
All right.
And I like the way it turned out this week. I just can't imagine why people are so darn surprised about it. All right. Ben Franklin designed the penny. It says, E pluribus unum. It almost said something different. What was his original concept? And that'll get you a prize if you know the answer. So we're going to take a little break. We'll be back right afterwards. We'll tell you a little bit more about ourselves. We've got a few other topics of interest. And anything you want to talk about, just pick up the phone and call. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the trivia question brought to you by First Coast Alarm. So what was Ben Franklin's original concept for the penny in place of what wound up on there, which is E pluribus unum? And back to the rules of the program, which are the caller goes first. Good morning, Marshall.
Not there yet? No, I think he's
all right.
Still on the phone with the producer. So let me take a minute and just say happy birthday to my son, Justin. Turned 9 yesterday, and to my daughter, Taylor, who turned 6 a few weeks ago.
Yeah, how about that? I remember when they were born. You probably do, too.
I remember it well.
All right, we're ready to go. Good morning, Marshall.
Good morning. So now we have both the Beach Boys back.
We do indeed.
Thank you for filling in for me last
week. Real world from the ideal world, Adam.
Exactly.
So much.
Yeah, I will.
I'm sure.
I will.
Yeah, and Adam and I both thank you for filling in last week.
Hey,
it's a topic. You know, Marshall, this is one of those wonderful little quick stories. We got a response. I assume it was because they were listening to the show last week, but we got a response midweek. Not so much to that, but related to that, where a lady's asking her husband, you know, this might be a really good thing in our situation, and the husband is dead set against them because he has all the preconceived notions that you and I talked about last week. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get him to sit down and have a better discussion.
It was a response to the show because she said that was the first time she had caught us.
Okay. Marketing program across the industry that our company is calling the Heckam HELOC Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to the Pepsi Challenge of many years ago.
Right, the blind study, if I said this and this. Yeah.
And I think that is the absolute perfect conversation for people, so I will share that with you. But I called you about required minimum distribution,
RMD,
and let me give you our hypothetical situation.
Okay,
someone is retired and they are starting to take RMD.
Mm-hmm.
They have been using the standard deduction mm-hmm. for filing their tax returns. Can they contribute their RMD to a charitable organization and still use the standard deduction?
You want a simple answer?
Contribution directly.
Yep. You want a simple answer?
Okay. Please.
Yes.
Okay.
That was easy, wasn't it?
So that improves their deduction situation instead of taking the money directly and then making a contribution.
No, it keeps it exactly like it was, but it doesn't make it worse. There are three possibilities, better, worse, or the same. This is the same.
Okay.
What can make taking start out with a required minimum distribution, that means you're 70 and a half. So this only applies to people 70 and a half. But what can make it worse is if you take that money out, it's fully taxable. You then take a deduction for your charitable contribution. Now, what has happened here? Your adjusted gross income, which is the bottom of page one of your 1040, has gone up. A lot of things happen when your adjusted gross income goes up. You might be ineligible for this, eligible for that. You might be in a higher bracket. Your Medicare might cost more. There's all kinds of potential capital, bad things.
Your capital gains rate.
Capital gains rate could jump up from zero to something higher. And then you go over to page two where you're taking that deduction. Well, charitable contributions cannot reduce your taxable income by more than 50%. So if they're in the wrong situation, when you add that money in and then try to subtract it out, you might lose part of that deduction. But if you're just going simple form, you have X adjusted gross income and you have Y tax because your deductions are standard. When you, the amount of money, which can be all of your RMD or partial RMD, flows directly from your custodian, made out in the name of the charity, and it has to be a qualified charity, as most things do, the custodian is required to write that check directly to the charity. The consequence is you get no 1099, you get no bump up in your adjusted gross income, you don't get a change in your deductions, but you have satisfied your required minimum distribution, which is something you do not want to fail to do because the penalties are astronomical should you fail to do it. And I'm talking big time, like 50%.
Yeah, it's 50% yeah. is correct.
Yep. So now I'm going to ask you the great projection from the all-wise projector.
I'll ask him.
Of those people that do not use the services of a financial advisor, especially a fee-only financial advisor, what percentage of those people have no clue they could do that?
Probably 98. That'd be my guess.
It's unfortunate because their intentions are good in every set, but they're not aware of a big mistake they're making.
No, and I never blame people for not knowing these things. Why would you know it unless you have some interest in it? It's not taught anywhere. You'd have to actually go out and learn it yourself. Or you do what a lot of people do when they're contemplating this time of their lives. They get involved with a certified financial planner, fee only, as you said, before they retire or before any other major decisions are coming up. And if your advisor's any good, he or she will know those things and bring them up. That's exactly the right question to ask for a situation. If I know you're involved with a charity and you're wondering how to promote these things, and that's wonderful. If you're 70 and a half years old and your tax situation is just right, and full disclaimer here, we are not tax preparers. We are not licensed to prepare taxes. We are tax planners. We work directly with your CPAs and your attorneys and so on. But we know what the rules are, especially in the rules of personal finance that have to do with things like the direct charitable RMD contributions. So you got to surround yourself with the right people. You got to listen to the right people. And we never, ever, I think I said this last week too when you were here, we never, ever tell anybody what to do. We tell them what can be done. That way you know what questions to ask. So the more you can spread the word, the better.
Consider these options,
yeah.
A, B, and C.
You got it.
Looks like the better choice for you.
After the break, I'll give you another great example from the halls of the financial planning place out in Jack's Beach, something that came up that it looks to me like, in fact, it reminded me, when you introduced your concept with the HECM and the HELOC, it reminded me this would be a great way to promote this product too. So after the break, we'll talk about it a little bit. But, you know, that's why we like people like you to ask really good questions.
Yeah, there are very few ways.
I'm just always trying to learn.
Me too. I want to know everything.
There are very few ways to lower your RMD or get not pay taxes on it.
At some point, but, there's time for Adam to share with us his biggest fall on the trip. All right?
I hope it was recorded in video. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Did have a couple. I've got a bunch of scrapes and bruises, but they're all healing up.
If you didn't, you weren't pressing yourself.
Exactly.
And for those who don't necessarily know, he was surfing the rather large surf in Costa Rica we get some surf around here, but we don't get that very often.
No, nothing like that. And it's so consistent down there. It's every day.
I saw some of the waves and, oh my gosh, you know, kind of a little personal aside here for Adam. Adam had a friend who was in real estate. They went to high school together. And in the bad times in 07 and a few months around that, he decided there was nothing to lose. He wanted to start over and loved surfing and things like that. Moved to Costa Rica, started selling real estate down there, lives there now, raising his family down there, and has been on, what do they call it, International House Hunters or something?
House Hunters International, three times now.
Yeah. So if you see a big, tall guy named Rich on one of those shows, sometimes that's who they were down surfing with and having fun with. So it's kind of a fun little highlight. Anyway, after the break, we'll tell you a little bit more about who we are, how to contact us if you're interested. And then I want to talk about a financial planning situation that actually happened in the office today that kind of directly relates to the scenario that Marshall was talking about. Knowing what can be done allows you to ask better questions and maybe tailor a better solution to your own economic future. We had an absolute classic this week. Okay, reminder, Ben Franklin, who designed the penny, put E pluribus unum, out of many, one, Al Gore, and he had a different phrase that was going to go on there prior to that that was kind of interesting. My question to you is, what was the original phrase going to be on the penny? Don't go anywhere. We'll be back shortly. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have our next honored guest, Captain Dave.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We are fantastic. How are you?
I caught the tail end of the last call. Was that fellow asking how to reduce taxes when you're retired?
It's a way to potentially save you some taxes. The move itself will not reduce your taxes. It'll prevent your taxes from going up. And not everyone's taxes would go up if they didn't use it. So if you're talking about a little niche thing here. You have to be in the right situation. It'll never save you money except against what might have happened.
Yeah. You know, I don't pay taxes anymore because I did property and I paid my capital gains taxes on it. And now if they double the exemption like they might, I'll never pay another dollar of tax the rest of my life.
Yeah, you're just bragging.
No, listen, you know, there's an old saying, Steve, the only real wealth is land.
There is that. That and a peace of mind, if you've got a little of that, too. Land will help that.
Listen, by the way, you were asking about Brother Franklin. He said, mind your own business.
Well, how about that? We have a winner.
Nice.
How about that? We will get your...
That same fraternity I'm a member of, you know.
That's true. He was quite a guy, wasn't he?
Yes. Unbelievable man.
You could tell stories of Ben Franklin for a long, long time.
Yes, sir.
Great. We're going to
tell you a lot of stories, fraternity stories about him.
Maybe best unsaid, or at least not on the radio.
Yeah, right. That's cool. Anyway, so I'd call in, and I don't know if there was any gift certificate or anything with that.
True. Yes, there is, and I'll put you on hold and get your address, and we'll send it out. Thank you to Ken Bales, and thank you to Captain Dave. Take care.
All right. Mind your own business.
Thank you. Bye. Well, that was fun. Yeah, can you imagine that being on the money? Mind your own business.
That's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny. Like I said, he was quite a fascinating guy. You could tell lots and lots of Ben Franklin stories. Some of them involve electricity. But anyway, where was I going here? Let's see. We were going to talk about Van Wee Financial for a minute because, hey, it's our show.
All right. So if you're ever interested in meeting with us, we're located in Jacksonville Beach. We're right off the Marsh Landing Parkway exit of Butler Boulevard. You can call the office at 904-685-1505 or find us online at vanweefinancial.com. Right on our website, we have a button that you click and you can schedule your initial meeting with us. There's no cost. We'll sit down with you for an hour, see if there's a mutual interest in doing business together. You can also find on our website, we do a podcast of our radio show in case you miss the live show. We hope you don't, but if you do, just go to our website, hear the old shows, and all of them are available there. Or if you click a link, you can go back in our archives on soundcloud.com. So check us out. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/VanWeFinancial, or Twitter at VanWeFinancial.
Cool. And if you want to schedule a meeting, you can do it right on the website, and it will cost you the sum total of an hour of your time.
That is correct.
And perhaps a few miles of driving. But that's it. Okay, good. I think he's getting Captain Dave again. Anyway, real-life financial planning, reducing required minimum distributions, happened to me this week. Funny how things kind of come in waves, isn't it? Mm-hmm. If you're in a certain situation where you have enough income and you're approaching or have reached that age where you have to take more income because of required minimum distributions.
That age is 70 and a half.
Yep. Then we would like to help people reduce those required minimums because they're fully taxable. But the government doesn't allow too much of that, hence the direct charitable contribution route, which, by the way, was renewed day after day or year after year for quite a while and was codified a year ago into permanent law. So you don't ever have to worry about whether or not to do it. In fact, for years on the radio, I've been telling people, do it anyway and see if it survives the cut, because if they don't pass this law till the last day of the year, then you don't have time to react. So just a second. I'm going to see if we need Captain Dave again. No? Okay, we don't. Just checking because he was on the line. He's a winner, so we want to make sure we send it right. Anyway, so we get talking about it, and I looked at the possibility. And we started with last year's tax returns for these people. And we said, what's going to happen if you change nothing? That was column A. Column B, and this was their idea, why don't we start doing some Roth conversions? They're in the 15% bracket. They'd like to stay in the 15% bracket, but there was a little room in the taxable income to stay in that bracket. So we looked at it. And what we found was, in order to max that out without touching into the 25% bracket, they would convert enough money that they would pay income tax on the conversion amount this year of $7,000. Due to their tax situation, the net savings would be about $300 a year. Now, when you get $300 a year for a $7,000 upfront expense, it takes you over 20 years to get that back. And if you're worried about your RMDs, meaning you're 70 and a half or better, then that's a pretty long return for that privilege. Yeah. Real long, in fact. So one thing led to another in the discussion. I said, well, how about a QLAC? I'm sure most people don't know what a QLAC is. A qualified longevity annuity contract. It is a deferred single premium annuity purchased inside an IRA, and it was legalized, I believe, in 2014 by IRS. What it does, it takes up to 25% or $125,000 in your IRA and allows you to replace those funds with the QLAC. The QLAC sits there until some designated day that you want to turn it into an income stream. It can be no later than age 85. So let's say a 70-and-a-half-year-old with a $500,000 IRA says, I don't really need these RMDs. I want them to be lower. So right now it's going to be about 4% of $500,000 or 20 grand. Well, he takes a QLAC and extends the date up to up to and including age 85 before it starts to pay out again. So now he's got a $375,000 IRA on which he's getting RMDs. Now, that's a pretty significant amount of income that he doesn't have to take, not just this year, but all the way up to age 85. It has a secondary benefit at 85. It kicks in and pays directly a monthly income to the IRA owner. So not only do you have more money, which is an inflationary hedge, but you have saved all that money along the way, and you know what it cost you? Nothing.
Yeah, and in addition, what you've done is sort of by running out of money insurance.
Exactly.
If you're in that situation where, let's say, he had some major medical expenses, had to drain part of his IRA to pay for it, and didn't have as much as he had planned, mm-hmm. well, this annuity within the IRA will continue to pay him until his death. So
now what happens if you say, well, 85 is pretty late, I don't know what I want to do there. Well, you don't have to wait till 85.
Right.
You might want to do what we call laddering. Most people have heard of laddered bonds. You have maturities once a year or twice a year or whatever, different levels. Well, with laddering, you would say, okay, I'm going to buy a $25,000 QLAC that kicks in at 76, 25 more at 77, 78, 980, whatever, and you spread these increases in payments. That means your income goes up every year. And a funny thing about annuities, when you buy one, the later you start taking money, the more you get every month. The older you are when you buy one, the more you get every month. If you schedule these things right, you can have an increasing income forever, because the other thing about a QLAC is it has the word annuity in it. People accuse us all the time of hating annuities. That is absolutely not true. Annuities solve problems. One of life's major problems is having an inexhaustible cash flow. It can't die until you do. Having that allows you to come to people like us who invest your other money a lot more aggressively, hopefully increasing your lifelong returns. This is something that could be used with a lot of people. It is indexed for inflation very slowly, but over time it'll get bigger and bigger. It is a fantastic planning tool, and we have very reliable providers. We do not sell anything, no products, no commissions, nothing like that. But we have very reliable providers that can work with you. If you think it might be something that would work for you, give us a call and we'll talk about it. I think you'll like it. I love it. So, again, we don't tell you what to do. We tell you what can be done, and then hopefully you'll learn all the right questions to ask. Well, time flies when you're having fun, as they say, and we will be here again next week, as always. And by then, Adam will have rested to his tanned and ready and all that stuff. Thanks for showing up today. We'll see you next week. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.